everybody. This is episode 383 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Jimenez, and today's episode will be a little bit shorter, and if you've looked at the title, you know what it's going to be about, and that's all it's going to be about because I haven't really played anything new, and what I have played that is new, I can't yet talk about, so yeah. And I've just kind of dabbled in some of my older games, and I'm like, oh, I never played this. Let me just play it for 5 minutes. Let me play this for 5 minutes. I'm currently downloading NBA Playgrounds, which I'm hoping is good, because I could use a really good arcade basketball game. I like the old NBA Jam games, and I know I could just play those, but I didn't really like the XBLA one they made. There's something that felt a little bit off about it. Or it may just be a bad memory, a bad taste, and I would actually really like it if I went back. Anywho, like I said, not much to talk about game-wise. And then in my constant movie recap, that doesn't make sense. That's not the right word. My movie watching extravaganza, catching up with a bunch of backlogs, and watching a lot of older things. There's nothing too exciting to talk about. Rewatched In the Heat of the Night. I was talking to Lunchbox about it, and that movie is just incredible. That is a masterpiece. It is one of the best movies of all time, probably. I forgot how good it was, and I don't know if I've ever actually watched it from beginning to end. I've seen big chunks of it, and whenever I think about it, I just think, oh, this is the movie where the black man slaps the white man. And I would have loved to have been in an audience during its theatrical release just to hear the reactions during that scene. But yeah, watched Bullet, thought that was okay, but it is rather similar to In the Heat of the Night while being different in ways, but it just pales in comparison. But that's like, you know, trying to compare something to oatmeal. It's not going to come close. For me, at least. I love my oatmeal. But, yeah. It was still a solid movie. But it just... It wasn't anything to cry. It wasn't amazing or anything. And I didn't think the car chase was all that great either. The only part that was enjoyable about it was when they were going down the little hill things. They're not really hills, but the elevations in the road and just seeing the cars. And I'm watching that and I'm like, man, that has got to be doing some serious damage to those cars. That is not good for the suspension and everything. But yeah, then I've watched a whole bunch of other things here and there. Anyway, moving on to the part of the show that everyone but one Beth Jensen wants to hear. And John doesn't really care either. So the Jensens are an anti-anime, anti-household. I'm feeling really weird. So, I'm just going to go in order of these things in my list that is on my animelist.net. So first, and these are all summer anime that I've watched so far, and I have to say before I get to these, Anime Strike is getting more and more exclusives, and they are building up somewhat of a catalog. But I still am very hesitant to subscribe because I don't like the way they've run their service so far. I don't like their practices. I think it's very annoying to pay for Prime and not get this service free or not be able to pick and choose what I want included with my Prime. I've said this before, but there are things I get with my Prime membership that I never use. There's a lot of music I get for free. I never use their streaming service because I don't care about it and I don't want to use it. I don't want it. I would rather have none of that. And honestly, I don't really watch much of their anime, not anime, their Amazon Prime Video offerings. And I don't really care about any of their originals, except for Jean-Claude Van Johnson, which has yet to come out and still doesn't even have a release date. But other than that, because I'm a huge JCVD fan, I don't really care about their originals. So I would love to have the option to say, I don't want to get your original crap. Give me the anime for free and make me pay if I ever decided I want to for the original or, you know, whatever. It's really frustrating in that sense. And yeah, there's also the fact that I watch most of my stuff on my Apple TV and they don't have an app for that yet. But of course, that will be changing finally in the fall. They finally worked it out with Apple and all that. So I think that will be when I subscribe, since that's my main way of watching. But I am tempted to subscribe now just because there's now a good chunk of stuff I want to watch on there. But I just, as much as I want to support the industry, I don't want to support bad practices. So I'm at this conundrum. I'm at this wall, and I don't know if I want to hop over it or not. And there's also the thing where I don't do this with anyone, but I know, like, with Crunchyroll or Funimation or other services, people share subscriptions, and that's not really an option with Anime Strike, because it's not just sharing the anime subscription, it's sharing the Amazon subscription. And while, sure, I would be able to have some people that I trust enough to let them have access to that, it feels weird to give them the password to a membership that has my credit card information in it, so that, and free access to order anything. The people I know who would be interested in an Anime Strike subscription would not screw me over like that. But even so, it just, there's something that feels dirty and, like, uncomfortable about doing that. That's almost like just being like, here, have my credit card. We can share my credit card. You never use it, but you'll just have access to it. Moving on to what I've actually been watching, finally. First, I'll talk about restaurants, and all this stuff is on Crunchyroll, of course, because I don't have an Anime Strike subscription, and a good chunk of it is also being dubbed on Funimation, but I'm not sure if all of them are. And I am subscribed to Funimation, despite rarely using it, because I don't have a problem with their service. And I think, you know, it's good to support them. And also, maybe the more support they get, the more money they get in, and the more variety in actors they'll be able to pick and choose from and hire, and the higher quality dubs will get. Anyway, finally, first series is Restaurant to Another World, a.k.a. Isekai Shokudo. And the synopsis for this goes a little something like this from my anime list. At the bottom floor of the building with a dog signboard in the shopping district near the office street, there lies a cafeteria called Noshoku no Nekoya that has an illustration of a cat on the door. So there's a dog and a cat. What? What's going on? I didn't even notice this. All right. That's me interjecting. It's been open for 50 years and has satisfied various salarymen from nearby offices. Blah, 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 blah. It's closed to the public every Saturday so that these special people can come through this magical door from various fantasy worlds all over the place to get this guy's cooking. The chef is Tenshu, and he makes fantastic food that these people just love. And while they might not like each other, when he comes down and says, hey, you better behave yourself, you're not getting any more food, they're all like, no, we'll get back to our seats and eat in peace and quiet. No trouble here. And that's really all the series is so far based off the first episode. We got a glimpse of the quality of Tenshu's cooking and how much people like it, and that they will pretty much do anything that he says if he threatens to take away the food and the ability to ever get it again. We got some examples of the different types of characters are, from a lizard guy to some buff people and like wizard folk, as well as a giant dragon that transforms into a very busty redhead. And then about halfway through, we get introduced to this young girl who is, I think she was a demon, and all these demons in her world are kind of scarred in a way, in some fashion, to be branded as being a demon or part demon, whether their skin is made of scales or they have a tail or whatever. And she has these tiny little ram horns. Her name's Aletta, and she ends up finding her way into his restaurant, sleeps there, smells some great food. She's been kicked out of her town and lost her job after it was revealed that she was a demon. And she wakes up there, and then the chef finds her and offers her a job to help her get some money and to help feed her one day every week. And yeah, it was a solid episode that basically just gave an idea of what the series is going to be about. I don't know if there's going to be a grand story being told, or if it's just going to be, hey, a slice of life type of fantasy comedy thing where you have these characters coming into the restaurant and maybe they have stories that they tell and blah, blah, blah. But I'm interested in seeing more. It's pretty. It has solid voice acting. And the first episode left me wanting more, which is what you always want, especially in the first episode where you're really trying to draw the viewer's attention. Once again, that is Restaurant to Another World. Next is Katsugeki / Token Rambu, which is the same in English and Romanji. And this is a... I don't know. It is... I'm not even going to... Like, I always start reading the synopsis, and then I just give up. But this is just some effing weird samurai-era thing where these characters, I guess... I don't know if they were sent from the future, and they're there to stop these other forces from meddling with the past and the events, so that the future doesn't change and all that. And it was just really, really boring. It's based on a card game, so you probably shouldn't expect much in terms of substance, and you'd just be watching it for the fighting and all the action and stuff. I didn't think the action or the visuals were that great either. Didn't really care for the art style, the aesthetic, or any of that. And I didn't think the voice acting stood out much. The themes, the opening and ending themes were okay, I guess, but now I'm thinking back and I'm like, I can't really remember them. I just thought it was really boring and it didn't do anything for me. It ended up being the worst of the shows I watched. It was definitely one that left me not wanting to even give it a second shot with the second episode, and oddly enough, it's the first one to get its second episode out. But yeah, That show just did nothing for me. But I think it's doing okay. I think most people are going into it expecting just a lot of action or whatever. But even so, I don't think it's that strong in that sense. Then I watched Clean Freak, I think it is. The title, the English title on Myanmar list and the English title on Crunchyroll are different. On Myanmar list, it says like cleanliness boys, blah, blah, blah. But Crunchyroll, it's Clean Freak Ayama Kun, and otherwise known as Kabeki Danshi Ayama Kun. And this is about a young soccer player who's very, very good, whose name is Ayama Kun. But he has this little problem. He's a germaphobe. He is OCD about cleanliness. Think monk playing soccer. He's really, really good at it, but he doesn't want to get himself dirty. And there's this new player joins the team who really wants to do well. And he's at the school that's not known for doing all that well. And he's there because of the fact that they have like the super cleanest toilets. And yeah, I don't. It could be funny. It reminds me a lot of Haven't You Heard I'm Sakamoto, or whatever the hell the name of that series was, in that everyone loves Ayama-kun, and he's like, you know, he's an amazing cleaner. He's great at it, and he's obsessive about it. But everyone is just like in awe of him, except for the other guy who joined the team, who's kind of like, what is this deal? I want to win and I don't trust him, Karu. And it could be fun, but it also could get old real fast. It could be very, very one note. But after one episode, I'm still interested in watching more. I enjoy the first episode. There were times where it kind of stalled a bit, but I'm cautiously optimistic. Sakamoto definitely got old for me and started to lose its steam probably halfway through. It felt much more, and that's what I'm worried about with this, that it felt like it would be much more suited for a short, whether that be 12 minutes or shorter per episode, as opposed to being a full-length series. But yeah, I'll give it a shot. It's got potential, and it could go either way very easily. After that, I watched Fastest Finger First, which is about a young boy, Mari, who is not Mari, Shiki, who is very shy, timid, very smart, though, was the library assistant back in middle school or whatever, and he's now in high school. And there is this quiz club that you get an idea of in the first episode. And it's basically going to be, we all know he's joining it along with this girl that he's kind of into, who, that's Mari. And she seems somewhat timid, but also confident. So she's got like this duality to her. And it's just about, you know, quiz show and buzzing in and how quiz shows work and when you should buzz in. And I don't know where it's going to go from here, but I guess it's like a somewhat of a shonen type of thing, but I don't know. It could be good, but the first episode was really just, hey, this character's shy. And he comes out of his shell somewhat by answering the hard question at the very end. And everyone's impressed. And we'll see where it goes from there. But, yeah. It's not really that memorable or that special. Then I watched a short, which, short as in 12 minutes an episode, called, Suredure Children. Not Sundere, which is what I thought it was at first. And that got me excited, that I thought that would just be very amusing. But it's Suredure Children. And that is more like, not lazy, but oh, they just got nothing to do. It's like a bunch of kids with nothing to do. And it follows four different couples or will be couples dealing with confessing in the first episode to each other. And so it's structured, I think it's based on a four-panel comic, four-panel manga. And it is structured in a way that you have these four couples and you get little vignettes of each of them. So you get, 3 minutes per couple. And it could be very amusing. I enjoyed the first episode because he had a very different range of couples. He had ones that were cute, ones that were funny, ones that were really weird and out there. Like, one of the couples is just basically this guy goes to this, like, park area because the girl requested that he come meet her there. And it's like, oh my god, she's going to confess. That's clearly what she's doing. And then he gets there, waits for 10 minutes, nothing happens, she doesn't even say anything, and he's getting ready to leave, or he's thinking, maybe if I nudged her and got her to confess, to get this ball moving, but then, would I be taking the confession away from her? And they just have this back and forth where, he's trying to get her to confess, but doesn't want to push her too far, and doesn't want to confess himself. And then she's just not confessing until the very end when she leaves and runs off. And she's like, let's just meet back here tomorrow. And he's like, whatever. And then she's like, okay, tomorrow I'll tell you I like you. It's just, and that one was kind of cute. But then there was another one with the student council president where he sees this girl smoking a cigarette. And it's like, oh, that's not good. And she's like, oh, you're going to report me? And he's like, no, if you give me a kiss. And she's like, oh, yeah. You'd like to have a kiss or whatever. I bet you'd like to kiss all the boys or whatever. It's like, I've experimented with that before. And she's like, wait, huh? And then she's like, well, I guess I could kiss you, teach you how to kiss since you probably don't know. He's like, no, I know how to kiss. And she's like, oh. Then he pushes her against the wall and does all the, he's like a super alpha male. And he's like, do you often prostitute yourself? It's like, yeah. And she's like, no. And he's like, well, how much would it cost for you to prostitute your entire body? And she's like, 100,000 yen. And he just pulls it out of his pocket. And it's like, here you go. And it's like, oh, wow, how do you carry all this money on you? that one, it's just silly. If you want something that's a bit shorter and broken in such a way that you can consume it in bite-sized pieces, because you can just watch one of the stories and then stop watching it and come back to it later to finish up the other stories, etc. That's a good it's off to a good start. I enjoyed the first episode. Will it be able to keep my attention for an entire season? Who knows? And then the last one is one I really like in terms of its premise, but I'm not really sure. The first episode didn't leave me all that jazzed because it was very much about the setup, and it'll take at least another episode to gauge whether or not I want to stick with it or not. And the name of the series that I'm talking about is Elegant Yokai Apartment Life, otherwise known as Yokai Apartment no Yuga na Nishijo. And this is a story about a young boy, Inaba, who lost his parents when he was in middle school, his first year of middle school. Then he was sent to live with his uncle. And when he was going off to high school, he was like, oh, finally I'll get to move to a dormitory and all that. But the dormitory that he was supposed to move to ends up burning down the day he was supposed to move there. And it's like, he has the worst luck. But he finds, and he can't afford any real place, but then you see that this little ghost boy, you see, because of his feet, that he didn't, missed it for whatever reason. But he's like, hey, you should go to this place to find an apartment. And he finds one in his price range, great location and all that. And it happens that this apartment building is inhabited by not only yokai, but a good chunk of yokai. You have a few humans there as well, but you have a large population of yokai, and that's that's pretty much all you get from the first episode. It didn't really go too deep into it all. But I like the premise. I think it has potential as a premise. I enjoy the darkness and the origin of it all, and his parents dying, and then the part of the dormitory where he's supposed to move burning down. I find that funny, which may make me awful, but I'm really hoping that it picks up after the second and potentially third episode, because like I said, the first episode kind of just sets everything up, puts everything in place, and it'll be up to the next few episodes to leave me at least with a decision of whether or not to stick with it. So it wasn't a great first episode, wasn't the worst possible first episode, but it left me wanting more of it. It didn't leave me wanting to watch more. It left me wanting more from the first episode, but I'm going to stick with it just because I think the premise is rather interesting. But that is it so far, because there's some other stuff. There are like continuations and some, you know, second, third, fourth seasons of series that are starting up that I'm not watching because I didn't see the previous ones or whatever. But of the new stuff, that's what I've watched so far. I was disappointed to find out that Dive is on Anime Strike. That's annoying. And yeah, at least, and something I might check out, Little Witch. It's not Little Witch Academia. That can't be right. Little Witch something. Whatever it is, that's finally the first season. I think the season is actually 20 whatever episodes. So the first cur of it is on Netflix now. So might have to check that out. But yeah, that's it. And that's all. And I'll be back with more maybe the next episode or in the episode after that. So I hope y'all enjoyed that, Beth.
I hope you enjoyed it. You love the anime, don't you?
I'm going to buy... You know what, Beth? I'm just going to buy you anime-related things from now on. I'm going to buy you all the anime. I'm going to gift you a Crunchyroll subscription for life. I'm going to find out a way to do it, and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to find a way to force you to accept it and force you to watch an episode a day. And an episode of my choosing, and I'm going to pick all the worst stuff. You're going to get so many Danshu boys. Oh, boy. Anyway, that will do it for today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope your weekend is off to a great start, wherever you are. Once again, I'm your host, Marcus Nez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime list, and Steam, @PXSausage. That is, once again, @PXSausage on PSN. I'm the Kush3. I was talking with my one friend, Justin, about my PS4 and how I don't really like it that much. But I have to, because I have Horizon Zero Dawn, I got to put that back in, reinstall it, and get back into that. Because I think that could be the next game. I enjoyed the little bit I played of it, and I think that could be the next game I really love on PS4. Because it seems like a game made for me. And like I said, I enjoyed what little I played. And the last game I loved on PS4 was Ratchet & Clank. Because I don't play that much on there. And Persona 5 was the most disappointing game of the decade, maybe. That's not even hyperbole or any kind of exaggeration. Persona 3 and 4 are some of my favorite games of all time. I love the series. I love the earlier games too, but definitely the change in the way they're put together and the way they are, which started with 3, is definitely more up my wheelhouse and something I love so much. But Persona 5 was just a disaster. So disappointing. But yeah, and NBA Playgrounds, for anyone who really cares, which is no one, it's sitting at 80% now. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Did I say? Yeah, I think I did. PSN, I'm Kush. The Kush3, who cares? Whatever. Let me change my name already, you sons of biscuits. And the site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, and the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast, as well as the art I do, which you can find all of it at pxsart.com with links to prints if you'd like to buy some. And right now, this weekend, you can get free shipping. Probably, I haven't checked, it's probably on orders over $25, like always. But you can get free shipping, which is great because their shipping is expensive. They pack it well, but the shipping is still a bit much. They dropped it down a bit. I think it's $8 now, regular, well, not during sales, when it used to be $10. But it's still, I think $5 is like the max for most people, since they're so used to getting free shipping from sites and whatnot. And especially most sites will have free shipping on orders over so and so much money all year round, not just special promotions every now and again, which makes it a little frustrating as a seller. But I like imprints service in terms of the quality of the prints and the way they do pack them, which is very nice. But yeah, you can check out all that art over there and order a print or two. Well, you're gonna, unless you order a big one, you're gonna order a few to get that free shipping if you want, of course. Where do I go after that? If you'd like to support the site in general and everything we do, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that way. And if you'd like to support the podcast in other ways, please go over to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to it, because it really does help. And tell your friends about it, because that helps more than anything. You going around spreading the good word is the best thing you could ever do for the show. Telling people about the site is the best thing you could do. And yeah, don't also forget to check out a few friends of Pixelated Sausage, the Sports Car Unleashed podcast, which you can find at stunleashed.com, which is about racing and co-hosted by Pixelated Radio co-host Rich Hall, as well as the Crazy Sunshine podcast, which you can find at crazysunshinepodcast.com, and is all about anime, and is hosted by two fine fellas by the name Z of Jace and Steve. And it's good. Except when they slack off. I don't know what it is, but every time they're like, I think it's time we slacked off. I think we've done enough. It's time to slack off. It just drives me nuts. Don't know why. What song is that? What is that? Okay. That will do it for today's episode. Bye. Bye.